All right, we're still in Matthew 13. So Matthew 13 is, we've almost come to the end of the chapter, and we have had a slew of parables that Christ has told. And we're tonight talking about the parable of the fishing net, or you might refer to it as the dragnet, and the parable of the treasure, the new and old treasure. So we'll read through our text, and then we'll discuss a little bit. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach. And they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So I think it's good to just kind of reflect on what we're talking about. To begin with, we're talking about parables. So what was our definition that we use so often? What is a parable?
Earthly story with
a heavenly meaning. So Christ uses these pictures in stories to communicate ideas. But not ideas just about earthly things. He's trying to take us from what we understand and apply that to what we don't understand, what we can't see. The kingdom that he's talking about is not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. So what is that kingdom? That is the spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those submissive to God. So the kingdom is the spiritual rule of Christ over those who are submitted to God's will. So the kingdom is right here, right now, in the lives of those who are committed and submitted to God. Now, there's another kingdom that's in place and at work at the same time that the kingdom of God is. That is the kingdom of the God of this world. So the earthly kingdom that Satan is in charge of right now today is in competition with the spiritual kingdom that God is establishing in the world today. So, the spiritual reign of Christ on earth, that is called the church. So, the end result of the kingdom is the goal of the church. What the church is doing is kind of like missionary work. The church is like a missionary organization in a foreign country that's trying to accomplish kingdom goals. So we are trying to bring people into the kingdom. Just like a missionary goes to another land and they're trying to convert people to accept Jesus Christ, we, the church, all around the world, have that responsibility. It's not just missionaries in far-off places. It's you and me right here where we live. We are to be about being a missionary where we live to bring people to an understanding of the love of God and accepting what Christ has done for them on the cross. The physical reign of Christ on the earth, that is what we call the millennium. That is the time after the tribulation, where Christ will physically rule on the earth with a rod of iron, and there's going to be no questions asked about who is in charge. Christ is going to be reigning and ruling on the throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. So, when we're talking about that idea of the kingdom, I think it's important for us to get that picture because Christ, that was pretty much the main focus of everything he talked about. You notice that in our parables, the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like, is used pretty much in every one. When you talk about the Sermon on the Mount, over and over and over again, Christ is talking about the kingdom. In John 18:36, Jesus says, "My kingdom," in talking to Pilate, "my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." So Christ and his kingdom that he's setting up right now through his church is not an earthly organization. We are involved in an eternal business. A business of, unlike, well, you remember when Christ told the disciples, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men"? That was an invitation for them to participate in this objective that we have as the church to bring people into the kingdom. So instead of being fishers of fish, where they made living things dead, we become fishers of men, whereby we make dead things alive. That is the job of the church. At the very beginning of Christ's ministry on earth, this was his topic. He began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So if we don't understand this kingdom business, we have no business being a part of God's church, because the kingdom is our business. That is our objective. That is our goal. That is the whole reason he left us here, was to be an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven and bring as many people with us as we can. So this is of utmost importance. So when we talk about the idea of the dragnet, or the fishing net, he said the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. So this is very much similar to the parable of the wheat and the weeds, where all of the unrighteous and the righteous are going to be gathered together and God's going to sort them out. That's what happens with the wheat and the tares. He said, don't pull up the wheat from the tares or the tares from the wheat, because you'll destroy both of them. Then he says, here, all of the fish are caught in the dragnet. At the end of the age, the good are going to be sorted into containers and the bad are going to be thrown out. So there is a day of reckoning coming for every living human being, that they are going to be tested to see if they are in the faith or not. So Christ gives them this explanation. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the angels are the ones who are going to be doing the sorting. That tells us that we're not in the business of deciding who is and who isn't. That's not our job. We don't get paid enough for that. So we have a responsibility to be very conscious of our own spiritual condition. And that's all we have control over. We can't make anyone else grow spiritually or be alive spiritually. That is a God thing. So we can be an example of being righteous, but we can't make anybody else righteous. We can be an influence toward righteousness, but all of our communication, all of our urging is not going to make it anybody what they should be. At the end, he gives another one-verse parable. He says, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Now, this is very interesting what Christ says here, because he speaks of a scribe. A scribe was instituted in the Old Testament. You'll remember after Israel came back from the exile, Ezra, the prophet, has it all together, and he begins reading out of the law. And the people begin weeping because they forgot it. Over the years, The law of God had been completely removed from their minds, and Ezra established scribes to study the law and to make sure that people remembered the law. Now, over the centuries, that position got watered down into the scribes just reinforcing the traditions of men. But the idea was for the scribes to be the ones who studied the law, to understand it, and to make sure that the people understood it and applied it correctly. That is who he's talking about. And he says, in particular, not the scribes who are trying to reinforce man-made traditions, but the scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven. That's a very different thing. A scribe who has studied the law and has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings out a treasure of new and old things. Which would be a reference to the scribes in that day who knew everything there was to know about the Old Testament. But because they are a disciple of the kingdom of heaven, they also know about the New Testament. And they bring treasures out of the Old Testament, and they bring treasures out of the New Testament. Because those are not contradictory to each other, those are complementary. The Old Testament gives us a picture of what's going to be in the New Testament. The New Testament reveals what the Old Testament was talking about. So both of them are talking about Christ. Christ that is foretold in the Old Testament, Christ that is seen in the New Testament. So this scribe is like the owner of a household who brings out both the new and the old, who's able to coincide both of those two economies and make them work together. So that is where we come in. We are to be modern day scribes. We are to study God's word, not only so that we understand it, but so that we can communicate it to others, so that the truth of God's word doesn't get watered down or washed away. Because it's so easy for people to come up with ideas about what they think God says, and then that to become what a whole entire group of people think God says, when it's just what somebody thought. It has nothing to do with God's word or what he thought. So scribes have a responsibility to be a sounding board for God, to allow God's people to be informed and to be encouraged to follow God's word. So the kingdom of heaven is a necessary and important topic.
Matthew 7, 22 to 23 Christ says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now that is a fairly terrifying verse, wouldn't you agree? That there will be many who at the last day will say, Lord, we served you, we did this and we did that, and we did the other thing, and we thought we were just right in line with what you wanted. And Christ said, I never knew you. That's the wheat and the tares. That's the good and the bad fish. Because the world can look a lot like a Christian. They hang around enough Christians, they'll start looking like a Christian. But just because you come to church, or just because you know Bible verses, or just because you can answer Sunday school questions, does not make you a Christian. So that's why we see in 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So we can't put our confidence in what we have done to say we're a Christian. The only confidence we have that we're Christian is because we have placed our confidence in Christ. That's the only way we get to heaven. Not because we've been a good boy or a good girl, but because
God has made us ready for heaven by allowing Christ to substitute his righteousness for our sin. Well, anything you would add to the discussion of the dragnet and the treasure?